Είναι. Κασούρ πήγε. Έτσι. Και σέντα. Γιάνω τα παμαϊμπα. Όταν δεν γίνει σάμπατο σε όνα σου. Και είναι. Τι και μπέτα. Του γίνει γουγιό. Είναι ζανέ. Είναι. Τα τίποτα το άλλο. Είναι. Τεόν δεν γίνει ζάντι. Είναι. Σέντι σιάνω. Σέντι νιώμα με σιάνω. Τι. 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 Sem yang da wo mei bei xiang wang du song de ba de ene sem yang da be loi da xie ene wang lu da shi wang de de gu ya le sa da de le ya yang da wo tian de le yang ne yang du di bi che kong ba che ene sem rang wang de duo xi bu le de su duo
and also Tsongkhapa has stated in his great expositions of the stages of the path Lamrim Chenmo that he has given the true meaning, the definition of what is meant by meditative practice here. He says that normally the problem with us is that we let ourselves to be controlled by our thoughts and emotions, and our thoughts and emotions are driven by negative impulses and destructive impulses, and this then leads to a whole cycle of negative activity, and which is bringing about painful results such as sufferings and so on. So we continue to live in that kind of cycle. So what is required as part of the meditative practice is to try to reverse that cycle and bring about a change in that mechanism, that kind of causal nexus. So what is required is to ensure that our thoughts and emotions are controlled not by negative and destructive impulses, but rather by positive and healthy impulses, and this can only be done through cultivating constant familiarity with the right kind of attitudes, with the right kind of ways of thinking, and right kind of practices.
Kandada chi gomdang ta ne, ta gomdang shuwarwe. Ta gom ngu sawayi na ta. Liya ta kanda zidang yudu chi na gomya chi ka loti ti ngu kiwe ta na gomya chi zik nyi yubi chi. Shenam gom ta na gomba si. Ta ti niga lo liya gomdang ka ti ne, jia gong gomya ta, jo gong ta na gomya, jian jo nyi ta na gomya nyi chi. Ta wa ta zi chi di naga chi bishari shi.
Generally speaking, when we talk about meditation, it is important to bear in mind that there are different kinds of meditation. For example, from the nature of the meditation itself, there are those meditations where we focus our thoughts upon a particular object or a topic, and then we use it as an object and then reflect upon its nature or whatever. So that is one kind of meditation. And then there are other kinds of meditation where there is not so much focusing upon a particular object, but rather within that meditative state you try to generate your thoughts in the meditative mind itself, the subject of the meditation itself, such as compassion and so on. So these are two different kinds of meditation. In one case there is an involvement of focusing on an object. In another case there is no relationship on a subject of an subject and an object, but rather cultivation of the mind in that particular state. And then in terms of the actual practice itself, and there are those kind of meditations which are more single pointed placing meditation, which are more absorptive and then remains focused and fused with the chosen object of meditation. And then there are others which are analytic, where single-pointedness and fusing with the object is not the key, but rather the analysis and penetrating into the deeper nature of that chosen subject is the key. So you have an analytic meditation, and you have a single-pointed or absorptive meditation. So, although to bring about a transformation within our thoughts and emotions, it is important to apply both the single-pointed meditation and also analytic meditation. But insofar as sort of having a real effect upon one's thoughts and emotions and cultivating a kind of a sense of deep rooted conviction and ascertainment within you, analytic meditation is much more powerful and effective. Then in the next verse, Tsongkhapa states, writes that when my heart bears the imprint of the Buddha's teachings through learning, reflection and meditation, may thoughts cherishing my own happiness and the thirst for existence vanish forever. He's emphasizing two points which should be the case as a result of your meditation. One is that of this life and the next life, the practitioner of Dharma should be able to relate, put a higher regard or greater significance to the concerns of the future lives, and between self and others, the practitioner should be able to put greater significance to the well-being of others.
And
in the next six verses, the prayer is related to the six perfections.
땅무슈 집에 다니 신전주야마도 신하나 쳐주시면 삼으러 올 텐데 저기 삼류 숙신 뒤토나 아니 신빌레로 명하리 어디 이런 거네 다 레로 남아숨 군에 받아 준주 삼으셨어 대네 시든는데 상동도 없다 대 신에다 신에 신에 디셔로가 주고 디 숨겨다 디 시든는데 상동 순두자네 아니 시고 코에 다 디 세야기 흥년분디 뚱이도가 나와드린 말이에요. 자상아, 상동리야, 지도어도 봐, 상동도, 진입어도 봐, 상동, 예바 인도잖아요. 다, 지도어도 봐, 상동, 치지발로 봐, 뭐죠? 아니, 시드, 년도고 말이에요. 그래서 님이 이르잖아요. 시드, 년도에, 아니, 지도어도 봐, 상동기, 도단 차와스. 도단 차와스. 즉, 대네, 시드, 년도에, 닝질란 유엔스. 닝지 삼바면은 뚱이도가 따와지고 곰니 아니 곰방건도 주인들자네 뇽몽방 도요하래 뇽몽배 주고 새 도요하래 뇽몽방배 채와 건도 채인데 아니 가서 그게 뇽몽방배다 가서 탈바세 차버래 다 델레야 닝지 삼바면은 아니 뇽몽방배 채외 이익이야 아니 배드가 가서 찬 되야지 용심이면 용기하래 델레니 시외 탈을 통한 승리하래 지나다 시들은 미네바디 가르쳐 왔는 닝지 또 닝지 쉐인 거야 아래 그래서 이 메인들 시들는데 닝지 레 메버체 너 딘디기 타네 다 스페셜 시블 한번 쳐봐 이제 제가 쌤 쓰시고 이 아래다 친구 있잖아 대회 쌤 쓰시고 쌤 탕 셀 미도고 쓰시고 시험시 부위 타고 여봐 있네 닝지 삼아매는 이 시대에 몰려 들어가요 말에 뚱이도가 따와매나 지도가도가 상도매나 15코에 년불리 있게 도구요 말에 드네 인베 인도자네 드네 집에 쓰면 쓰시고 띠 아니 감콩리야 계약이 둘둘이야 너나 15코알이야 15코에 당원도 냠차가도 토야기 미유에래서 차버리 봐 아니 15코알로 코야기 둘이마도 군중랑가와래마도 아니 코알에 탑수야요 말에 드네 인베 인도자네 패션 시브를 한번 재배이지 신의 반대 송지 공부쇼스 단어식 3대 당부 3대 2부 3대 수부 10부 대내에니 학월 에니 숭미기 나가타에 남시타에 지현미 에니 시지 대내에 그 사람들 대리 신학을 나바지는 걸 항도 사대요 아래요 랑살의 스님인도 다 공살의 시워 랑살의 락발대로 랑살의 집에 있느니 에니 랑살의 시워 왁살이야 락발대니 대내기니 아젠 제베타네 아니 랑사보다 공사디 시월이야 대내 통내 드르르보다 아 가서 우리 상원도 전력이 아니 왁사스님도 랑사스님도 대기 뉴모 대다가 뉴모 문주와 다시 뉴수 뉴모 문주와 근데 가다 싸워모 오메 뉴모 라고 문주와도 자리야 아 냠부때니 리심하고 소통해버리 리심 문주하고 자통해버리 어쨌든 지금 방송 거야. 뒤에 15코코야 교재마다 여기 남진 가사 타워토야 교재 누구야 말이지? 시드니가 방송도 했었지. 다와 대대비 아니 신의 방대스 숭지 거버셔스다. 강다 있는 숭 가서 대월에서는 또 뚱이도 나와 숭겨. 신의다 지도도 가 방송 숭도 대월에 이제 숭겨. 되네. 어떻게 해야 되고 직시하셔.
So in the next six verses, the prayers related to the practice of the six perfections. It begins with verse number 17, which reads that destroying miserly thoughts through detachment from all things that I possess, may I give material help to others and benefit them with the gift of dharma. In verse 18, this relates to the practice of generosity and giving, the perfection of giving. Next, in verse 18, we read, by observing until full enlightenment, even the smallest precepts in the spirit of renunciation, and not compromising them even at the cost of my life, may I fly the victory banner of spiritual freedom. This relates to the practice of the perfection of morality. And then verse 19, when I see, hear, or have thoughts of beings who insult me, beat me, or have hated me, may I be free of anger and always express their good qualities, practicing tolerance. So this relates to what I spoke about earlier as the free of anger being the essence of the practice of tolerance. And then in verse 20 we read, may I abandon the three types of laziness which obstruct the attainment of new virtues and undermine those already attained. May I thus develop perseverance. So three types of laziness here refers to one, procrastination. This refers to the kind of the laziness that we often have. We are simply kind of not able to sort of, you know, motivate ourselves into engaging in the practice, whatever task it may be. And that procrastination is very natural. That is the first kind of laziness. And then the second kind of laziness is what is called indulgence in unhealthy activities. And from the practitioner's point of view, this would also include our being totally preoccupied and caught up in a kind of a never-ending cycle of insignificant chores, so much so that we have never any time for ourselves. So from the practitioner's point of view, even such state is considered to be a form of laziness, and it's called the laziness of indulgence in negative activity. And then the third kind of laziness is the laziness derived through lack of confidence or being discouraged or demoralized. And so the first two kinds of laziness can be overcome by for example, the laziness of procrastination and laziness of indulgence in frivolous activity or negative activity. These two can be overcome by sort of reflecting deeply on the destructive nature of the negative emotions and thoughts, and also the suffering nature of our existence, gaining insight into the suffering. These will help us overcome the first two levels of laziness. And as to the third level of laziness, where although the person may not be procrastinated, a person may be willing to do something, the person may also be not caught up in a never-ending cycle of frivolous, insignificant activity, but simply the person has no sense of confidence. There is the person is kind of there is a real kind of weakness at deep down, and that kind of laziness can be overcome first by reflecting upon the fact that all of us possess the seed for enlightenment, the Buddha nature, and also. And also, another important antidote to overcome that kind of lack of self-confidence and this being in a totally demoralized state, one of the most effective methods, in addition to contemplating the Buddha nature, but is the teachings we find in Nagarjuna's precious garland, where Nagarjuna makes the point that if you are undergoing a painful experience, something that you do not desire, then even the experience may last for a very short moment of time, there seems to be a sense that, you know, this is, you know, it's an eternal, you know, it never seems to end. That feeling of unbearableness and the sense that it is very long is there. When you are undergoing an experience that is not voluntarily adopted, and that's something that is undesirable. Whereas if Nagarjuna makes the point that if, on the other hand, if you voluntarily accept something, voluntarily engage in something with joyfulness, then time factor, how long it takes, doesn't really make much difference. For example, Shantideva writes in his Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, Bodhicharya Avatara, where he expresses his powerful sentiments that may, as long as space remains and as long as sentient beings remain, may I too remain and dispel the miseries of the world. Once you start cultivating these kind of powerful sentiments with a courage that you are prepared to remain, if necessary, for eons and eons, and dedicate your life for the benefit of other sentient beings, then there will be a tremendous courage within you, so that even if it takes eons and innumerable eons, there is no feeling of unbearableness. In fact, your sentiments would be such that you have a kind of a sense of settledness, and you have a sense of definity that my sole purpose of my survival, my sole purpose of my existence, is to be of service to others, whether directly, indirectly, whether it is day or night. The sole purpose of my existence is to be of benefit of other sentient beings. It is the service of other sentient beings. Once you have that kind of single-pointed, dedicated, altruistic sentiment, then even if it takes eons and eons, that time wouldn't make any difference to you, so far as your own courage is concerned. So these kind of reflections will help you overcome the third level of laziness, which is the laziness derived through lack of self-confidence. And then in the next verse, Tsongkhapa writes that discarding mere tranquil abiding of mind, the ground for samsaric rebirth, which lacks the insight outshining existence and the moist of compassion surpassing peace, may I practice the union of calm abiding and insight. So here Tsongkhapa is referring to the fact that the mere cultivation of tranquil abiding in itself is not adequate, because tranquil abiding on its own, that is absent or devoid of the penetrative insight into the ultimate nature of reality, the insight into emptiness, the tranquil abiding on its own, isolated from such insight, cannot lead you away from the samsaric existence. In fact, it can become a cause for further rebirths, perpetuation of the cycle of rebirth. For example, there are high levels of meditative states of mind, such as the first, second, the third, and the fourth form realms, and also the formless realms, and even the highest form of mundane meditative state, which is known as the peak of existence. All of these meditative states are a very highly refined form of tranquil abiding. They are a very highly refined form of single-pointedness of mind. And some of them, in fact, have the insight element, but not insight into emptiness, but insight in the analytic sense. But still, when they are all divorced of the insight into emptiness, then they become another factor for continuation and perpetuation of existence in samsara. So therefore, he makes the point that the line which lacks the insight outshining existence, because it is the insight into emptiness that cuts the chain for existence in samsara. And then he states that alone is not adequate. So he says that the moist of compassion surpassing peace. So here he is talking about another kind of extreme. So even if your tranquil abiding of mind is complemented with the wisdom factor, but if it lacks the complementary factor of bodhicitta and compassion, and then it will only lead to freedom from suffering, but not to the attainment of highest enlightenment. And one therefore falls into the extreme of what is known as the extreme of peace, isolated peace. There is a danger that when one attains nirvana or liberation, one becomes totally immersed in the bliss of that state. And therefore, it is the compassion that enables the practitioner to transcend that extreme or that abyss of isolated peace. And therefore, he says that, may I practice the union of calm abiding and insight.
Oh, yeah.
We will now go back to three principal aspects of the path.
That is the Nelu Gwena, Vada, Siddhan, Chidao, Hangdong, Kiko, Yena, Dilalum, Sukhana, Nelu, Dog, Shira, Mindana, Ninjun, Shirusam, Gongjang, Sivet, Zawa, Jabra, Minube,
So in verse 9, we read that you may master renunciation and the wish, but unless you have the wisdom perceiving reality, you cannot cut the root of cyclic existence. May efforts in ways then to perceive interdependence or dependent origination. So what is being pointed out here is that if you lack the insight into emptiness, if you lack the perfect view of emptiness, even if you have true renunciation and the altruistic intention, it is not possible to attain liberation from samsara. There is a great significance to the last line of this verse where Tsongkhapa says that therefore make efforts and ways to perceive interdependence. I think there's a typo here. It reads may, but I think it should be make efforts and ways then to perceive interdependence. There's a great significance here for Tsongkhapa not writing make efforts in ways then to perceive emptiness, but rather to say make efforts in ways then to perceive the dependent origination, the nature of dependent origination. Tsongkhapa is making the point that the true understanding of emptiness must be such that your understanding of emptiness takes place in terms of your understanding of dependent origination. And this is a very important point Tsongkhapa makes. And also we find in Tsongkhapa's praise of dependent origination, praise of the Buddha for teaching dependent origination, in praise of the Buddha for teaching dependent origination, he writes that I pay homage to the one who, on the basis of his own insight, taught us the principle of dependent origination. And so in Tsongkhapa's writings, he repeatedly emphasizes the point of the equation between emptiness and dependent origination. This is not to say that the realization of the actual percept cognition of dependent origination is exactly the same as the actual cognition of emptiness. Rather, what he's stating here is that your understanding of emptiness must be such that it takes place in terms of your understanding of dependent origination, so that when you have the perfect understanding of emptiness, then your understanding is such that it will be able to transcend both the extremes of nihilism and absolutism.
Dagada 젊은 시간에 된대기, 예, 가서 그래, 르, 찌야, 민진바, 또, 사니, 내당에, 햇띠, 내당에. 된대디, 아니, 젊은 시간에, 디니, 따와 공부, 인, 공, 우면 따와 인, 공, 지, 여러 시에, 아니, 그, 지, 자매, 시에, 거래. 지, 자매, 안 돼, 젊은 시간에, 내 따와, 디, 아니, 다, 우면, 우면 따와, 디, 인, 가서 인, 구글에, 공, 지. 아니, 내 따와, 디, 탈한 거 따와, 가리 나서 쉬운 아니, 뭐, 지, 자매, 아니. 이 갈랜데, 강야 민송을 해. 런집에 따와야 리가 없란다. 워낙이니, 이니, 우메 따와, 이니, 치지 말라고. 근데 신나 주자네. 이니, 주자네. 책 차고, 쓰고, 저거 가시에 숨세. 이 숨두자네. 이 구구민도 쓰고, 미콜라스. 시두자네. 이니, 개직 말이지. 쏘시슈. 나와 타고, 흉그 참배, 흉심을 잃었다고. 그래지. 이리 쓰더나. 이니, 대사 모임배. 이니, 지금 사달라고 써왔다. 아니, 싹상하나? 디 숨, 숨지기 타네. 아니, 윤생나, 림불 메토가. 아니, 내 안다, 샤샤베, 치디디기, 디미더 우체니. 아니, 똥더 땡중, 코와 투모 모임 받은, 뉴브르니, 자기, 똥토도, 디송도가. 자, 드림 미니스는, 아니, 젊은 세계다. 아니, 제가 소리, 지, 숨을 잡아내야 되지, 뱉어, 무튼이나. 아니, 대단님도 올려, 싹상한테, 쉬우쉬우쉬우 무시나. 요가 굴리야. 엔 근데 지금 안에 엔에 비트벌리드 차르지 마시니. 요가 굴리야 엔 어디 똥도 띵중세하게 투모모이 고하지 엔 잠시 총이래. 대대가 어디 투모모이 고하 총네 엔 어디 떠박거리지 저리야 르무신이 뛰어서 손도 해야 돼 엔. 연대 차도 통화 손수. 이내에도 멋이 걸려야, 이니, 연대도 늦이 통화한데, 이니, 겨와서 머리 공부도 없어, 손수해서 돼야 돼, 그래도 와. 어차피, 어디 뒤에 말해.
So, the understanding of emptiness in terms of dependent origination has been repeatedly emphasized by Tsongkhapa. And in fact, Tsongkhapa really developed a unique way of relating the understanding of emptiness. In relation to the dependent origination, we find that, for example, and this is really grounded in the writings of the great Indian masters such as Chandrakirti. We find in Chandrakirti's supplement to the Middle Way, Madhyamaka Avatara, where he says that with the reasoning of dependent origination, one is then able to cut all the threads of wrong views, false views. So he again emphasizes the reasoning of dependent origination. And then similarly, we find in Tsongkhapa's, in praise of dependent origination, he states that it is with the reasoning of dependent origination, then one is able to find the middle way, transcending both the extremes of absolutism or eternalism and nihilism. So here what we see is a repeated emphasis on the need to cultivate insight into emptiness through the reasoning of dependent origination, so that your understanding of emptiness takes place in terms of dependent origination. And this is grounded again in Nagarjuna's teachings, where we find in Nagarjuna's Fundamentals of the Middle Way, Mula Madhyamaka Karika, where Nagarjuna makes the following statement. He says that whatever is that which is dependently originated is has been taught by the Buddha to be empty, and that too is dependently designated, and this is the true Middle Way. So, what we find here is again an equation between emptiness, dependent origination, and dependent designation, and the middle way. The true middle way is that is that transcends both extremes of absolutism or eternalism and nihilism. And this is again grounded in the sutra, the teachings of the Buddha himself, where Buddha says that whatever comes into being as a result of causes and conditions is absent of independent reality. And that which is absent of independent reality has the nature of this dependence. So again, there is an equation between dependent origination and emptiness. So, and even the very etymology of the term dependent origination, the Tibetan Tenjung, which is composed of two syllables, gives the idea of this middle way. For example, dependent suggests that things do exist. Dependent suggests that things are devoid of an independent nature, independent reality. So the term dependent precludes any possibility of an absolute reality, any possibility of an independent reality. So thus freeing one's thought from falling into the extreme of absolutism. And origination gives the idea of things coming into being as a result of aggregation of various factors. So the very term origination enables the person to free one's thought from the possibility of falling to the extreme of nihilism, believing that nothing exists. So in the very etymology of the term dependent origination, there is the idea of the true middle way that is free from both eternalism and nihilism. And and similarly, we find in Nagarjuna's writing in the Ratnavali, the precious garland, where he subjects the person to analysis and trying to find what the true essence of the person is, and then goes on to say that person is neither the earth element, nor the water element, nor the fire element, nor the wind element, nor this, nor that. And then finally, once all this sort of dissection is completed, he does not write the conclusion saying that therefore a person is devoid of intrinsic reality. Rather, what he says is that person therefore exists in dependence upon the aggregation of various factors. And this has a very important significance. Again, he equates the origination of the person as a dependent reality to the fact that person is devoid of independent existence. And so when you think in this way, then you will be able to relate all of these various masters' thoughts, such as Tsongkhapa, Chantakirti, Nagarjuna, and the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra itself, all of these in a way which, you know, there arises a very profound and deep understanding and subtle understanding of the meaning of dependent origination. So when you relate to that, then you will realize that Tsongkhapa's earlier understanding of emptiness during his early stages of development, where he had the view that the emptiness, ultimate nature of reality, is neither this nor neither that, that kind of nothingness, we now see that it is an incomplete understanding because he hasn't been fully able to penetrate the dependent nature of reality. And relate to this story, to complete this story, around that time, in the early stages of the development of Tsongkhapa's understanding of the perfect view of emptiness, when he was still at the stage where he felt that the profound view of emptiness was the suspension of thought and non-thinking of neither this nor that, at that point he felt that he had now gained deep insight into emptiness, and he is said to have around that time mystical visions of Manjushri, encounters with Manjushri. And during one of these encounters, Tsongkhapa is said to have asked Manjushri, thinking that he had a Madhyamaka's understanding of emptiness, he then asked Manjushri, and describing his own understanding of emptiness as he perceives it, and says, and asked Manjushri, the standpoint that I have arrived at, is it that of the Madhyamaka Prasangika or Madhyamaka Svatrantika? That it was a Madhyamaka view, he had no doubt. But to his surprise, Manjushri listened and then said that it's neither the standpoint of Svatrantika nor is it the standpoint of Prasangika. It's in fact not the Madhyamaka standpoint. And then Tsongkhapa said, if that is the case, how can I deepen my understanding of emptiness? And what exactly is the perfect view of emptiness? And Manjushri then gave a teaching to Tsongkhapa in a very cryptic few lines. And when Tsongkhapa listened to those teachings and informed Manjushri that he cannot understand, And Manjushri told him, do not worry. What is required is now for you to engage in a detailed contemplation on the major treatises of the great masters such as Nagarjuna, Chantakirti, Buddhapalita. And that kind of deep analysis and contemplation of their writings, it is important. And what I have given you here, the few lines, should serve as the key for you to open this treasure of the great literature. And then this should be combined with making constant prayer and invoking the inspirations of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And this should be combined also with many purification activities of accumulating merits and purification of negativity. So if you combine all these three, that is the study of these great treatises, making prayers and evoking inspirations of the great masters and great beings, and then engaging in purification activity and accumulation of merits, then you'll soon be able to really experience within you the true understanding of the perfect view of emptiness. And Tsongkhapa engaged in all of these.